This podcast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, a program designed to help all podcasts reach their full potential. For information about joining the Robots Radio Rocket Club, check out robotsradio.net.
Welcome to Wizarding World Lorecast, where we're going to take a deep dive into the world and lore of the Harry Potter universe, such as the creatures, the people, and yes, even the magic.
Welcome back, witches and wizards, to another episode of the Wizarding World Lorecast. I am one of your hosts, Ben of Temeria, and followed always with me is my awesome co-host, Nina Kitty.
What's up?
And today we are continuing our topics of different classes that you can take at Hogwarts, and we are going over Nina's favorite. Your favorite, I recall.
Yes, it is. I just love animals.
which, by that note, we are going over care for magical creatures.
Yes.
So, to get right into it, care for magical creatures, also known as creature care, and formerly called Beast Class, was an elective course at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry that could be chosen by students in their third year. Livermore School of Witchcraft and Wizardry introduced the course in 1927. So, compared to the other classes we've already covered, Charms, Defense Against the Dark Arts, Potions, those three classes are full-on, like, required. Like, you are required to study those classes. Care for Magical Creatures is the first class we're going over that is a full-on elective, so you are not required to take this class whatsoever.
I don't know why you wouldn't want to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm at that That's point, too. Me. Like, I mean, it'd make... Like, you, I would want to too, because of all the different magical creatures there are in the world,
and the ecosystems are completely different. Like, that's just, it's gonna be really cool to see,
right? Mm-hmm. So, in the class, students learn about a wide range of magical creatures, from flubberworms, hippogriffs, to unicorns, and even thestrals. Students were taught about feeding, maintaining, breeding, and proper treatment of these creatures, and many more. The witches and wizards who succeeded in achieving an owl on their subject could later become magizoologists. Some well-known magizoologists were Newt Scamander, his grandson Rolf Scamander, and his wife, Luna Lovegood.
Okay, I did not know she married into the Scamander.
Yes. Yeah, family. That is like something that. We find out. I can't remember where exactly we find this out. I think it's in the Cursed Child play.
Ooh.
I think. I could be completely wrong. I know it's not in the novels. It's definitely not in the epilogue of Deathly Hallows. Because Scamander Scamander existed. Like, we had his name in the books. But, like, that was it. They didn't, like, actually dive into Newt's character until, like, you know, the Fantastic Beasts films.
Okay.
So I want to say it was the play that was where we got this info. I'm not entirely 100% sure on the top of my head. It could have been from Pottermore, for all I imagine.
True.
When Pottermore was a thing, so. Now it's called Wizarding World.
Yes.
So, as far as class information, so the Care for Magical Creatures was a subject taught only to those in their third year or above who chose to take it as an elective course. In a student's fifth year, they took an ordinary wizarding level examination in the subject where they sat both a written portion and a practical portion where they demonstrated their knowledge of the subject. On their Care for Magical Creatures practical, they had to identify a gnarl hidden among a dozen hedgehogs, demonstrate correct handling of a bow tuckle, and feed and clean out a fire crab without sustaining serious burns, and choose from a wide selection of food and diet they would give to a sick unicorn.
No.
That is a lot to do in a practical test.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming it'd be a little time consuming.
Oh, absolutely.
I would think, especially cleaning and feeding the fire crab. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would take out a lot of time.
Yeah.
If you're being careful.
Or even a sick unicorn. Like.
True, but that's just picking out their food.
True.
That's not feeding. It's just saying this fair. Food. Yeah, I doubt that they're bringing a unicorn in.
It's like unicorn into into the school, and it's like, here, take care of it.
Yeah, I doubt they would chance that.
So, it is also unknown how many of Harry Potter's fellow students choose to continue care of magical creatures in a new year. However, Harry, Ron Weasley, and Hermione Granger left the subject after completing their OWLs. And then, as of late 20th century, many students, Hogwarts students have earned a good grades in this class, something Albus Dumbledore attributed when the use of the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them as a textbook. Which... this is a textbook that you can actually go out and buy a copy yourself. You can go and buy a... they actually have a few different versions of it now. I have the original copies. I think I still have my original copy. I know I have the new update. Like, they did a new updated version years ago to where they it's still around the same size as the original, but they changed the actual backing and the cover of what the book looks like.
Oh, cool.
Where it makes it more a little more like Hogwartsy slash like actually in the school. And they did take out a lot of the in the original version of the book that you could get of the library versions of because it was a combo of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them and Quidditch Through the Ages. And in these versions of the original copies, they had snippets in, like, Harry slash Ron crossing stuff out and, like, adding their own, like, subtext in it. And, like when you come across a basilisk, Ron added, it was a 5X monster, which meaning, like, the most dangerous type of magical creature in the world. He added, like, or no, it was the Atramoria, the spiders. That's also a 5X creature, where it's like one like dangerous because they're venom. He added five more X's. He added like literally penciled in five more X's because of his fear of spiders.
Yeah, it's not like those.
But the updated versions of these books don't have any of that stuff. So it's, I mean, it's hit or miss. Like some of the stuff, like it was just weird. But you can also now get, like, illustrated versions of all these books, too, which is really cool.
I need me an illustrated version of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. That's what I need.
Right.
Because I'm asking that for Christmas. All right.
Yeah, I already asked the Almanac for Christmas. That just released like a month or two ago, the new Harry Potter Almanac.
It was right at the end of October, if I remember correctly.
Yep, I was about to go buy it, and then it was like a $40 or $50 price tag at Barnes & Noble. It's like, yep, this is a Christmas gift for me. I ain't spending that. Perfect Christmas gift.
No.
Or you can go on Amazon and get it for like $30 or something like that. I can't remember. But anyway, moving on to staffing. So we have Sylvanus Kettleburn taught care for magical creatures until 1993, where he retired to enjoy more time with his remaining limbs, which we get this quote in Prisoner of Azkaban, where he was succeeded by Rubius Hagrid, whose lessons became controversial after Draco Malfoy was injured by a hippogriff, Buckbeak. After Malfoy was injured, Hagrid was more restrained and cautious in the creatures shown in the class for the remainder of the 1993-94 school year, although Hagrid occasionally brought creatures that were illegal to class.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Other than his dragon, heck yeah.
Let's be honest, it's not controversial, because Malfoy didn't listen to his teacher, and that's his that's his own fault.
Absolutely his own fault. Although Hagrid should have gone over how important it is to respect animals. He was a little brazen with his hippogriff.
Well,
I'm not defending it at all, but if he was just like, hey, you got to be pretty careful around animals, but I feel like Draco would just be egotistical enough to think that it wouldn't matter.
Oh, I'm superior. I'm the best. And it's like, no. Yeah. No. When it comes to life and death, the creature don't care. The creature will hurt you.
Creature is huge compared to your tiny little body.
Especially a hippogriff. Don't make one mad.
Mm-mm.
So Hermione Granger attempted to organize Hagrid's classes in order to make him a better teacher and prevent him from being fired. In his second year of teaching the subject, Hagrid introduced his fourth year class to blast-ended scroots during his lessons, a species of illegally bred creatures. Hagrid went to teach on the subject until at least the 2010-2011 school year. So, like, he was a teacher for well after Harry and Hermione and Ron graduated Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, quote unquote.
He must have got it right. Yeah, well, that's fair.
And then during the 94-95 school year and also the 95-96 school year, for a short time, Hagrid was substituted by Wilhelmina Grubbleplank, who gave lessons on unicorns and bow tuckles.
Yes.
And then the class location, Care for Magical Creatures classes typically took place outside Hagrid's hut, but some lessons occasionally took place in the Forbidden Forest, such as the Thestral lesson. Now, and then, this is, was not in my show notes, but in Hogwarts Legacy, there is a separate side next to the main courtyard going out towards Hogsmeade. There is a side cabin slash place where Beast Class would be, and that was before it was renamed to Care for Magical Creatures. It was called Beast Class.
Mm-hmm. Yes, just Beasts, and that was the professor for that class was... By Howen?
By Howen.
Professor By Howen. I think that's how you say her name. Mm-hmm. She was pretty cool. I did like her in the game, too.
Which, remind me what... I can't remember what creatures on the top of my head. Mooncalfs? And Pufferskins? Is what...
Yes.
I think we... I think the creatures that you took care of in Beast Class. And then right after
Beast... I thought there was a third one.
And I know... Or no, there was a third one. Kneasels.
Oh, okay.
With the cats.
I'm going to buy it because...
Kneasels, which are the cats. And then right after Beast Class, that's when you get introduced to... is it Razorwing? Is the hippogriff?
Razorbeak.
No.
No. Nope.
Oh, gosh. That's gonna bug the crap out of me. Well... While we're looking this up, let's go into our mid-break, and we will be right back with more beasts. Alright, welcome to the middle of the show, where we talk about everything with the podcast that has nothing to do with the lore of the Wizarding World. And if you want to help support the show, there is a few options that you can go. You can support us through Patreon on patreon.com/WizardingWorldLoreCast, where you can get ad-free episodes, or even join us once a month on the end of the month of the episode, or join us on the show once a month at the end of every month. That's what I'm trying to talk. And you can choose a topic of your choosing. We can talk about anything you want to talk about within the novels, the films, the games, or anything controversy you want to, well, depending on controversy, we can talk about. You can also support us on Apple and Spotify. If you leave a 5-star review on Apple or a nice comment on Spotify, we will read that out loud the next time on the show. Which I know we don't have any Spotify comments. And we do not have any Apple at the moment. So if you want to support us, that is a few ways you can support us there. And then you can also find us on a few different Discord servers. You can find us on the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net, as well as my own Discord server, the Ben and Friends Podcasting Discord, where you can find this show as well as the other shows that I host, the Holocron Histories, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, and the Witcher Lorecast. And if you are a fan of The Witcher... Go listen to the most recent episode of The Witcher as of it's episode 123. Go take a listen to it because me and my co-host Toasty finally got to sat down with none other than the legendary voice of Geralt, Doug Cockle. And go listen to that episode to where you hear me not talk a whole lot for once because I'm in freaking like starstruck the entire time we're just sitting there talking, because it's just like it's a dream come true. Never a thought in the wildest dream in my life I would be able to interact with the voice of a character I love so deeply. So go listen to that. Go help us out. It's a great time. And then you can also find us live on Twitch at Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, to where you can find us live on my Twitch channel at twitch.tv/BenoTamaria. Go subscribe, go follow, get notified, so you can help me get affiliate, so then I can get subscribes.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that's what I want. I'm slowly trying to make this a full-time thing, to where I can stream and do my shows and at least do this somewhat more full-time than what I do currently. So go help me out. It means a lot. I appreciate all the help I can get. So close to affiliate. I'm so close to affiliate. I can almost so taste it. But yeah.
Nice and sweet.
Right. So there's that. And then I think that's all I have for the mid break. Do you have anything else to add, Nina?
I have the name of that hippogriff, and the name was Highwing.
Highwing. I knew Wing was in the name somewhere.
I don't know if Razorbeak, when I looked it up, it was something to do with Magic the Gathering. I don't know if that's your cup of tea too.
Or Transformers.
Or Transformers.
It's also
I'm also wondering if it's something to do with one of the dragons that we run into in the game. Could be.
I don't know. Maybe. But with that being said, we are getting back into more beasts. All right. We have more beasts to go over now. We have the curriculum, and we found out it's Highwing. For the Hippogriff in Hogwarts Legacy, because I knew it was Wing. There was a Wing in the name. I knew that much.
Yeah, that's all right.
So, since this is an elective for third years, obviously, the first year we go over is third year. So, the beasts that you go over are Hippogriffs, Flopperworms, and Salamanders. So, I mean, Hippogriffs, we've seen the films. Salamanders are literally just like salamanders in our own world, but instead of them not,
yeah.
But they have to be on fire.
Well, yeah. I don't know why you think that's not an option. They have to be on fire. They need to be warm. They're cold-blooded. They need some warmth.
Yep. So they're constantly on fire. And then flobber worms are literally just giant worms, which are nasty. That just
big old blob.
Yeah, they just flob.
Flop around.
Anyway, now we have the fourth year. So we have blast-ended scroots, which are illegal, as we went over earlier. These are not legal creatures by any means. We have the fire crab, the Kneasle, the Murplap, Bowtuckle, Niffler, Streeler, and Unicorns. And I'm just going to say it, like, the best creature on here is Nifflers, because Nifflers are best. I'm sorry. Like, the Niffler is, like, my favorite all-time magical creature in the Wizarding World, because it's a magical platypus that loves shiny things. It's fantastic.
He's a very unique animal that likes shiny things.
Yes.
Yes.
It's great. I even have shiny ones in Hogwarts Legacy. So if anybody knows, you can get shiny magical creatures, just like there are shiny Pokemon in Pokemon. There's shiny magical creatures in Hogwarts Legacy. I have a shiny of each magical creature. Except for the Phoenix, because there's only one Phoenix in the entire game.
Well, okay. Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, a shiny Niffler, I believe, is like a platypus green.
Oh,
like Perry the Platypus, it's like that color.
Oh, he needs a hat.
He just needs a hat, yeah.
He needs a hat.
Niffler? Perry the Niffler?
Perry the Niffler. I love that.
Oh my gosh, that's gonna, oh, that, we need that now. Oh my god.
Yeah. I need that drawn by somebody.
And then fifth year, so we have Bowtuckle, Thrastrel, Lanarl, Kneasles, Chimera, Krupp, Porlock, Fairy, Pufferskin, Unicorn, and Flobberworm. And Thrastrels are cool, which you do see in Hogwarts Legacy, literally in the first 5 minutes of the game. Spoiler alert. bad things happen to where you see them.
Yeah. Things do happen.
Chimeras are exactly what they are. They're a body. They're part lion, snake, and goat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Krupps are awesome. Because you know,
Krupps are pretty cool.
You know what Krupps are? Krupps are dogs, but they're dogs with two tails. That's the only difference. Is they have twin tails. That's it. That's it. It's the only difference. They're just magical dogs.
So it's a simple version of the Fox Nine Tails. They just have two.
It's just a twin tail dog.
Twin tail.
That's it.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, Bowtruckles are like the branch slash leaf looking magical creatures.
They're like a stick bug, but cooler. Yeah.
Exactly.
Leaf.
They're cool, especially newts, because they're like newts creatures. He has a Niffler and a Bowtuckle that are always with him that like do so much for him. And it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's interesting that fairy is considered a magical creature. Well, okay.
I mean, they're not like going to. I mean, you have pixies, which are going to be like the same boat.
So to me, all right. So fairy and like centaurs and like gnomes. Maybe not gnomes, but they're more sentient. So are they a magical creature? Yeah, but
it's borderline. So as far as in like the wizarding world, fairies. I don't know if fairies are as sentient as the what we would think in most fantasy settings. Centaurs are full on sentient. They are sentient creatures.
Yeah.
Now, and that's where like it gets really. There's high debate over what like are they magical creatures or are they they have sentience, so like are they man or beast kind of a thing, and it gets really hot water.
Yeah, that makes sense,
because they're a hybrid creature.
Yeah, I guess it isn't as obscure with like goblins or trolls either,
right?
Because yeah, okay.
Goblins are technically magical creatures, but they're also sentient creatures. Trolls are,
I feel like that would be a magical creature. They're like,
they're not as high sentient.
No. They remind me of my special cat that has not a very high sentient being.
Oh no.
But he still has some intelligence to him.
Right.
Anyway.
So moving to the sixth year, we have the Glumbumble, which is essentially a magical flying bee.
He's so
cool. It's weird.
He's gray and furry.
You have the dry call, the flooper, moke, the jackalope, threstrel, the gnarl, doxy, golden snidget, and the imp. And dry calls are literally just dodo birds. They're literally magical versions of dodo birds.
Dodo birds are so special.
It's freaking awesome.
That's amazing.
And the floopers we actually have in Hogwarts Legacy. There's floopers. Aww. You can get flooper feathers.
Okay, yep. They're exactly what it sounds like, a big foofy ball of feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Pooper.
Doxies are very similar to fairies, but if I recall, doxies are also like poisonous.
Oh. Interesting.
And golden snidgets, they're what used to be used for Quidditch until golden snidgets almost became extinct. Because of Quidditch.
Yes, that's that bird. Mm-hmm. And there's a quest in Hogwarts Legacy with the golden snidget that I think
yes.
was pretty
fun. That was yes. awesome. Mm-hmm. And then seventh year, we have the Quintapt, the mm-hmm. Oakme, the Demiguise, and the Dugbog, which the Dugbogs are the giant frog-like creatures that you can find in Hogwarts Legacy. That are super beefy in health and I despise.
Yep.
Use Levioso and then Defendo to cut off its tongue to instant kill it.
The Quintapt looks like a rock crab with teeth.
I remember these things. It's one of the symbols you use for the number puzzles in Hogwarts Legacy. That's one of the creatures as a symbol.
I don't like that. I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Blocked that out of my memory. It almost looks like he's got gorilla hands on the bottom of his crab legs. I can't.
Yeah, it's weird. It's creepy. It's weird.
He's something. Look him up.
And then other creatures shown across classes across the years also include the griffin and gnomes.
Gnomes, okay.
Which you have to denome your lawn. Because the Weasleys constantly... I remember playing when Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets video game came out on console. Like, one of the first things you have to do when you're when you get to the Weasleys' house is you have to denome their yard.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you're literally chucking gnomes. You're literally picking up gnomes and literally chucking them. Like, toss them across the... the yard posts.
Mm-hmm. It's a good hilarious. Way to get some frustration out.
Yeah, it's a good mini game too. It's funny.
I bet.
And then known professors, we have the one from Hogwarts Legacy, which is escaping my mind again.
That's all right. It's By Howen.
Professor By Howen. And then yes. we also have... Sylvanus Kettleburn from we don't know when he started until 1993. Rubius Hagrid from 93 to at some point he doesn't have an end year. We're like 2011, maybe possibly past that. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Wilhelmine Gorbelplank, which she was a sub from 94 to whenever, so she was never like a permanent teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then last but not least, we have behind the scenes. So as revealed in Pottermore, J.K. Rowling had originally devised the class to be called Beasts and to be compulsory from the first year. This Beasts class appeared to exist in Hogwarts Legacy and may be linked to the original idea. And the year in which creatures are covered seemed to depend on the teacher. During Sylvanus Kettleburn's tenure, salamanders were covered with Fred and George in their fourth year. While Rubius Hagrid taught about salamanders in Harry Potter's third year, Hermione Granger stated that a person like Wilhelmina Grubblyplank probably wouldn't have covered thresholds until reaching Newt level, whereas Rubius Hagrid taught about thresholds in Harry's fifth year. And then in the Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery, the class is not available until year four. If players take Jacob Sibling to the OWL through an optional side quest, they definitely gain at least an A, even if they fail to answer every question and care for any creatures.
What is Jacob Sibling is like the, golden quill through every owl, because this is like the third time we've come across where
it's because
if you just help his sibling.
It's because it's a side quest and you can't, like, it's a linear story and you can't fail.
Okay, that's fair. I don't know. I just feel like you're cheesing the game at that point, but
who am I? There's also that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we have on Care for Magical Creatures for this episode. And here, a little side tidbit here too. When Hagrid showed Harry and his class Thrushrolls for the first time, few people actually, everybody thought Hagrid was crazy and like nothing was there. Where Harry, Luna, and Neville all saw the Thrushrolls.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool that there was other kids there at least that could share in the experience.
I liked how they kept adding like JK kept adding Neville into like key moments. It was like, because if you really go back and look at it, at the prophecy that Voldemort was scared of, there were actually two candidates to end him.
Yes.
Neville and Harry were born at the both at the end of July.
Mm-hmm.
But Voldemort ultimately chose Harry's family because he didn't think Neville was going to be like his family wasn't that big of a deal. And also it was also tied to Voldemort thought the downfall of him would be someone who came from a parent who is Muggle-born. Just like how Voldemort was, because Voldemort was Muggle-born. Well, his father was Muggle-born. Mm-hmm. Was a Muggle, where Lily was Muggle-born. Like she came up from a family of Muggles.
True.
But if you, and you go to the end of Deathly Hallows in the film and in the books, both Harry and Neville are the ones to ultimately defeat Voldemort.
And I love that
because Neville killed the final Horcrux that was still alive, and why Harry finally defeated Voldemort at the end.
Yes. I really thought that was cool how it tied all together. It was both of them, essentially, that he needed to watch out for, and he put all of his resources just on trying to destroy Harry.
Yeah. I mean, and like, if you go and like go back, read the books, or even watch the films, like, looking at Neville, it's like, oh, he's not a threat. Harry's
just hanging out with Trevor's toad, just trying to figure out herbology, having a great time.
Right.
Getting bullied by Snape. Like, he's just trying to live his best life.
That was the best scene in Prisoner of Azkaban, was the whole Snape Boggart scene. Because it's also in the book, and it's hysterical. But yeah, that's all we got on this week's episode of the Wizarding World Lorecast. Is there anything you have to add, Nina, before we sign off?
I'd just like to know, I know this one's a little shorter, but we do plan on covering some of these magical creatures more in depth later on.
Yes.
It definitely opens up some more stuff. So
yes,
we don't have a whole lot of information on this class, unfortunately, since it's an elective. But it does give us a list of cool creatures to go over, so it's something to look forward to.
Absolutely. So that being said, thank you for listening to the Wizarding World Lorecast, and remember, the wand chooses the witch or wizard.
Thank you for listening to Wizarding World Lorecast. You can find us on the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net. You can follow us on Twitter at www.lorecast, and you can email us at wizardingworldlorecast@gmail.com.